But during the lunch hours, we decided that even though our overall theme is power to become, one of the things that we're going to focus on basically during our lunch hour are some of the parables of Jesus and looking mostly at our hearts. Now, tomorrow we're going to look at the kingdom and some kingdom parables, but how that affects our hearts. And today we're going to look at the very first parable, really, that Jesus gave that we know of. And in fact, it's the introduction to the parables found in Matthew 13. And that has to do with the parable of the sower, or actually it's looked at from two different standpoints, the parable of the soils. And the parable of the soils actually has to do with our hearts, and that's what we want to focus on today. I grew up near a farm, and we took care of that farm all of my life. A man down in Houston owned that farm, could not live there until he retired, and he didn't retire until many years after I left home, and so we took care of that as our own farm. And I'm very familiar with agriculture, grew up in 4-H and FFA, and we showed cows and did all kinds of things, and so I'm very familiar with what we're talking about today. And as Jesus here to these people who were also quite agricultural begins to speak to them, the Bible says he launched out in a boat. There is a traditional area on Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, where they believe that this took place because it is a horseshoe shape. It just happens to kind of gradually go up a hill all the way around, making a natural amphitheater. And it is believed that the voice of any person in a boat launched out just a few feet from shore could be heard for over 300 feet, even if they whispered. And it is believed this is where Jesus was speaking at this time. We know the physical surrounding is exactly that because he's in a boat, he's launched out from shore just a little bit, and he begins to speak. But we need to also see the background of this great parable, and we'll just give that very briefly. This is a time of great controversy. This is during the great Galilean ministry, and it may very well be near the end of that. And Jesus' popularity is massive as far as the crowds are concerned, but he's not very popular among the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and some of the scribes because he is beginning to draw attention by the great miracles which he is doing, by the great teaching which he is doing, in that his very life showed a stark difference between what these men were living and what he was living, because Jesus was consistent in his life and the way that he lived. Back in chapter 12 of Matthew, we find that there are several things going on, two controversies. One is that his disciples have plucked grains on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees had gone so far as to try to establish or codify certain things that God did not. God simply said that you were not supposed to go and harvest on the Sabbath day. He did not say you could not feed yourself on the Sabbath. And so Jesus and his disciples just plucked some grains. They rubbed it in their hands, blew away the chaff, and ate the grain. And so these men wanted to say, well, you've broken the Sabbath by doing this. And of course, the Bible did not prohibit what Jesus did. Then Jesus healed the man with the withered hand in chapter 12. And they again said, you're working on the Sabbath. Now, I've always found that humorous. Because in the first place, what example did they have in the Old Testament or anywhere of anyone healing someone's withered hand, whether on the Sabbath day or any other day? And so how did they determine this is work? Was it hard for Jesus? Apparently not. He raised the dead. He did all of these other things that we know of. So was it hard for him to heal someone's withered hand on the Sabbath day? These men were trying to make laws that God had not made. And that's a very dangerous thing. So it's a time of great controversy. Jesus had also cast out a demon on this occasion in chapter 12. And so now the Pharisees accuse him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of the devil. And again, a ridiculous statement that they're making, because Jesus, in fact, in answering this says, would the devil cast himself out? Would he oppose himself by casting out one of his demons? And he made good sense. Jesus made common sense, or Jesus had great common sense that many of the people around him generally did not have. And so he dealt with that in such a powerful way. There's also the controversy about his brothers and sisters and his mother coming, which, by the way, that answers a problem that some religious people believe in. They say that Mary continued in her virginity after she had Jesus. It's not possible. He had brothers and sisters. She was an ordinary woman who had had children by her husband. And so there is no such thing as perpetual virginity as far as Mary is concerned. But his mom and his brothers and sisters show up, and his disciples say, look, here's your mother and your sister and your brothers and sisters. And Jesus asks a question, who is my mother and who are my brothers? In chapter 12, 44 through 50. And so this is a time of great controversy. And I believe Jesus, by picking this particular parable to start out with, and the Holy Spirit determining this is the one that we're going to record first, is dealing with this exact situation. The pressures of life, the difficulties that we have, and the effects that it can have on our hearts. And if we're not careful, we'll become one of those three soils that the Word of God cannot live in. We need to be that fourth kind of soil. Let's read the parable. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into the boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. There was an agricultural scientist back in the 1700s, believe it or not, and he had read this parable, and so he decided to test a particular type of red wheat. He planted 18 plants. And when they sprang up, he took the seed from that immediately, sowed it again. He did this in less than 1 year. And those 18 plants produced over 2,000 plants within a year. And Jesus here talks about that if the seed is used properly, it'll produce 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. That depends on the soil, depends on the conditions, whatever the situation might be. But Christ is saying this is what the Word of God can do. But the Word of God can't do certain things. That is, it cannot penetrate a heart that does not want it to penetrate. Now, Jesus goes on to explain what parables are. And he was beginning to use these parables because of the fact that there were those who wanted to attack him, those who wanted to destroy him. And so he would teach in such a way that if a person did not want to understand what Jesus was saying, they wouldn't understand it. They'd just be confused. But if a person really wanted the truth, they would learn. They would listen. They would figure this out. They would use their common sense and come up with the answers that Jesus had concerning this. Let's look now at the explanation that the Bible gives us concerning the parable of the sower and of the soils. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. And indeed, he bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, another case, 60, and in another, 30. As we look at the situation here, Christ gives a very thorough explanation of it. First of all, you have the wayside soil, or the soil by the path. My granddaddy had what we call a truck patch. Now, you know, I used to think when I was growing up, truck patch meant, well, when you got it done, you put it on a truck, you drove it out to the side of the road, and you sold it. And I thought that's what that meant. But I found out the term truck was actually a very old term, had been used long before we had pickup trucks, and it had to do with the goods themselves. The goods were called truck. I don't know really where that came from, but you would have truck to sell. These were the extra vegetables, the extra grains and things that you would grow that were beyond what your family needed, so you would go and sell it to make money for your family. Well, my granddaddy had a truck patch, and he grew nearly everything you can imagine in his truck patch. And my grandmother would be the one that would go and sit beside the road. He had a full-time job, but he would grow that truck patch. We would go out and help him from time to time when we were off in the summers to pull the corn and do the various things, pick peas or beans or whatever it was. And then granddaddy would load it on the truck in various ways, in boxes so that it could be easily seen. Would drive it to the side of the road. My grandmother would stand out there sit out there under an umbrella all day long and sell those goods. Well, beside my granddad's truck patch was a path. That's where the truck went whenever he would go down there, where he would drive his tractor. And if you accidentally, when you were planting the grain and if you were planting corn or whatever it might be, if some of the seeds fell on that, it never did anything. It was just too hard. No way to penetrate anything that was there. The Bible says here, this is a person who does not understand. Well, does this mean that this person is incapable of understanding? No. It means a person who determines not to understand. This is hardness beyond anything that is normal. We've probably all known folks like that from time to time. Their heart's just so hard that the Word of God cannot penetrate because it has no place to go. It's not allowed. And as a result of that, then the birds come, the Bible says here, plucks those up and eats them, and it's carried away. You know, it's kind of interesting, and the Bible doesn't say anything about this, but somebody did benefit from this seed. The birds did. You know, if a hard-hearted person is being taught, and there's somebody else there, and they hear, they may be able to pick up those seeds that were not going to go anywhere else with the other person. And so Christ has a way, God has a way of helping people all around us, sometimes almost coincidentally. God's word is that powerful as it reaches into the hearts of others. This seed never takes root. This is a dismissive person and gives Satan a clear path into and out of their lives, because that's what it is. It's a path that this falls on. The second soil that we see here is that stony soil. The seed is sown. It does begin to take root, but the roots are very shallow. And as a result of that, then, it does not last. And the Bible says here that Satan comes and he plucks this up and takes it away. Now, the stony soil receives, and the Bible even says it rejoices, but it's shallow. That's what's going on with this particular type of soil. Soil was not properly prepared. On my way to my grandfather's house, there was about 40 miles of gravel road back into ranch country near where I was raised in Texas. And there was one particular field. I never saw a single crop in this field. But the poor fellow who owned it did everything he could to get all of the rocks out of that field. He had a fence this high around that field. Never got all the rocks out of it. Now, I haven't been down that gravel road now in about 25 years. They finally paved a good road that went faster. But that land just never produced anything. It was full of nothing but rocks. Only weeds and other things like that grew in that particular soil. This is a lack of dedication, though receptive. A person who just does not know what they're signing on for. They take the Word of God, but they're not dedicated to it. They have no loyalty to it because they don't get into the depths of what the Word of God has to tell them. The seed cannot germinate properly and send down deep roots. When pressed because he believes, this one falls away. His belief doesn't last, and he's going to fall away from Christ. And then there's the thorny soil that we read about here in verse 22. This one hears the word, but there is no joy mentioned. Notice that. There's no joy mentioned with this particular person. The soil was not properly prepared yet again. The thorns and the brambles were not pulled up and thrown away or burned. And therefore the thorns are, Jesus says here, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And as a result of this, then, when the seed puts down root, it may be able to put down fairly deep roots. But because of the thorns above the soil, it's going to grab a hold of that plant as it grows. It's also going to draw away all of the moisture away from those roots. And eventually, it also shrivels up and dies. And it becomes choked and unfruitful as a result. Now, Jesus tells us exactly what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with those who care more about the world and more about riches than they do about Christ. There was a man one time, it was said, that decided he had quite a bit of gold, and he decided to convert, just before he died, all of his assets into gold bars. And he told the funeral home director, said, "You go down to my bank, here's a letter, and you go down to my bank and you get that when I die, and you put that in the bottom of my coffin, because I'm going to take it with me." And so the fable is told about this, that he died, and sure enough, they put that gold in there, and he gets up to heaven, supposedly, or to the gates, that is, and supposedly one of the angels or someone else there saw what he had with him and said, "You brought pavement?" You see, God's concept of what's important and our concept of what is important are two different things. We think that's so valuable. We think worldly riches are so important, but they don't last. There's no way. I know that here in South Florida, you had that problem with the Ponzi scheme back here, you know, I guess, what was it, a couple or 3 years ago. And a man who made off, his name, made off with so many people's money and all. Those people thought those riches were going to last, and they thought they were going to get bigger as a result. We need to see things as God sees things. We need to hold on to what's important: the Word of God, our relationship with Christ, our friends and family around us, and the relationship we can have in Christ with them. These are things that last. And then we need to spread that word around. And that brings us to the good soils. If we don't give in to the material, if we don't give in to the cares of the world, then we become properly prepared soil. And as a result of that, having a good heart, the Bible says that the seed is taken in. This person understands it, keeps working at it. Don't you get frustrated with yourself? I know I do. Passage that we'll read and study a little bit about, and then we go on. And the next thing you know, you come back across that scripture again later and you say, "I've forgotten everything about that scripture." You know why? You didn't use it. And you didn't continue to dig into it and to find out even more about it. And you didn't place it in your heart and your mind and your memory. And as a result, it's gone just like that. But if we're properly prepared soil, we take that word in and we understand it. That doesn't mean it happens overnight. Now, we're talking about an agricultural cycle here. Jesus is simply laying something parallel to life, this story that he has here, parallel to life, to teach us a lesson about the sower sowing the seed everywhere and the soils that receive that seed. But he's not saying this happens overnight, as it basically does with seeds. Doesn't take very long till if those seeds are covered. They're put in proper furrows. There are no thorns. There are no thistles. There are no stones. This is not the hard soil at the pathway beside the field, but rather this is that plowed, prepared soil, and it's covered up. Almost immediately, that seed begins to germinate. The outer husk rots and becomes fertilizer. And then inside that kernel, and I believe it's called the stamen, there begins to be this little bitty tiny root that grows. That happens within maybe 7 or 8 days. And then that root puts down even deeper, and within a month, little shoot's going to head upwards, and it's going to begin to grow. And Jesus says, and it won't just produce for itself. There's no selfishness involved in this situation. This soil produces not just this one shoot, this one plant, but that plant's going to produce 100 or 60 or 30 fold. It's going to share, and it's going to grow and be what it needs to be. That's what God can do with us if we will open our hearts and let His Word in, and the power that it produces in our lives when we allow it to be in our lives as it should. allow this parable of Jesus to reflect back to you what is in your heart. And as a result then, make a determination what you need to do. Two passages very quickly this morning. We need to do self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? We need to do self-examination to make sure that we are the kind of soul that we need to be. James says something very similar in talking about hearing and receiving the word of God. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, but goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. We will produce 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold in the kingdom of God if we will truly listen, truly understand, and truly do what God wants us to do.